Today on Vox Talks Economics, young, educated, and unemployed. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name's Tim Phillips, and every week we bring you the best new research in economics. Remember, subscribe and follow us on Instagram as well. In some places in Europe, young college graduates are more likely to be unemployed than young high school graduates. This makes no sense. We assume that jobs are more likely to go to people with more education. So our challenge today is, can economics explain why this is happening? Sinad Joshkun of the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg is the author of a paper that takes up this challenge. She joins me now. Sinad, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Hello, team.
We learn that a college education is a good investment. The returns to education. What lifetime benefits do graduates have?
On average, college graduates have higher lifetime earnings, better health, and lower unemployment is just among so many benefits that they do have.
And economists and university recruiters and the parents of teenagers as well talk about the college wage premium. How big is this premium?
I can say in the US, college graduates on average earn 80% more than high school graduates.
That's big. We're talking about something very different. In which places in Europe have we discovered that this positive link between education and employment seems to have broken down?
It's mostly southern European countries such as Italy, Serbia, Portugal, Turkey, Greece, and Slovenia, but also surprisingly Denmark.
Is this something that's happened recently? Is it something that's happening persistently in the places where it is happening?
Well, actually, it has been a very persistent phenomenon for decades for these countries that I'm talking about. But I should mention that Spain also used to have this phenomenon for a long period of time. But after the European debt crisis, the phenomenon reversed for Spain. But it's actually not because the situation for college graduates improved in Spain, but rather the situation for non-college graduates deteriorated significantly there. That's why the situation is reversed in Spain.
It's not an easy time to be young and seeking work. One worry, will AI replace skilled jobs? And how quickly might this happen? When you follow Vox Talks, you can listen to our past episodes, including Which Jobs Will AI Replace? With Gino Gancha and Juan Jimeno from April 2024, and AI's Impact on Jobs with John Van Rienen from November 2023.
To work out what's going on here, you've tested two hypotheses. The first one is about labour market frictions, which is something that many people will have heard of. What are these frictions? Why do they exist in this context?
These frictions are at the end of the day about creating new jobs, or in other words, cost of particularly creating skilled vacancies. One reason why we would expect college graduates to have lower unemployment is because they should also be available to work in jobs for which they are overqualified if they cannot find a suitable job for them. In that case, we call them mismatch workers. Although this is not an optimal situation, it protects them from unemployment for a temporary period of time. Hence, we can also think about some frictions which prevents these high educated workers from finding temporary jobs than they are stayed unemployed rather than performing low skilled jobs until they find a suitable job.
If this phenomenon that we observe here was caused only by these frictions, what would we see in the data?
If it is only about frictions, then we would see the impact on relative unemployment, but not on relative wages that much, which means that we can observe higher college unemployment in countries with high college wage premium because it would mean that college graduates have high returns when they are matched, so high college wage premium. However, frictions prevent them from finding a job, so they have higher unemployment rate. This can be observed if only frictions are important explanation.
You've also looked at productivity as a factor. Now, in this context, what do you mean by productivity? How on earth can you measure it?
What I mean by productivity is the relative efficiency between high and low skilled workers. In other words, value added by college graduates relative to non-college graduates. But measuring it is really not straightforward at all, which is the main point of my research. There are two reasons why measuring is problematic. One is wages might not really reflect productivity, or in other words, marginal product of labor in places where unemployment is high or frictions are high. Mm-hmm. And second reason is that mismatched workers do not perform their full potential when they are working in low-skilled jobs. Mm-hmm. They could have produced better, they could have done more, but since they are mismatched, we observe their productivity as being low, but we do not know the counterfactual scenario of what they would produce if they were really matched to appropriate skilled jobs. So in order to address these two problems in estimating relative efficiency between high and low skilled workers, I use the structure of my model and the data on relative wages and relative supply of high and low educated workers to estimate relative productivity, which is cleaned out from the effect of frictions.
If productivity is a cause instead of or as well as labor market frictions, what are we going to observe that's different?
If productivity is a cause, in other words, low relative efficiency of college graduates, which is the fact that college graduates may not have much higher productivity than high school graduates, then in that case, they should also have low wages and low college wage premium in addition to high unemployment.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned before, frictions can also affect wages. So the effect of frictions on wages should be filtered out before to decide whether they really have low productivity levels, which might affect their unemployment rates as well, which is something that I do using my model.
How do young people get matched to jobs in your model? How do you imagine that happens?
In my model, there are two types of workers, high educated and low educated, as well as two types of jobs, which are skilled and unskilled. Low educated people can only be matched with low skilled jobs. High educated workers, on the other hand, can search and be matched with both types of jobs. A college graduate can allocate some effort for a job search in the low-skilled market as well to increase their job-finding probability. But once they are mismatched to these low-skilled jobs, they can still do on the job search to switch to a better-skilled job.
So you need data for this as well. What data are you using to estimate the model?
I use European Union Survey on Income and Living Conditions and Labor Force Survey for 30 European countries between 2004 and 2019. The crucial information is to estimate country-specific relative wages, relative supply, but more importantly, mismatch rates, which is the fraction of college graduates who work in unskilled jobs.
Okay, so now here comes the complicated bit. What do you do then to separate the influence of these two potential causes, the frictions and productivity, of this young, educated, unemployed effect?
After estimating country-specific productivity and friction parameters within the model by using the data on wages and relative supply for all these 30 countries, I can perform a counterfactual analysis by asking the question, for instance, what would the relative unemployment in Italy be if Italy had the exact same frictions as in the UK?
Okay.
Or the same productivity parameters as in the UK. And in each of these questions, I can calculate what the relative unemployment, the counterfactual relative unemployment, hence I can measure how much lower or higher would it be if we increase, let's say, frictions in a country in an exogenous way or productivity in countries in an exogenous way, so that we can actually see if the difference, let's say, in Italy and the UK is the result of frictions or productivity and what fraction of it. When I do this counterfactual analysis for different pairs of countries, I find that both channels are important in explaining young, educated, unemployed phenomenon. But also I can quantify the impact, what fraction is explained by productivity versus frictions. What I can say, productivity channel is becoming even more important, especially in countries with high frictions, which means that relative unemployment is more prone to change by boosting the productivity if frictions are important or high in that country.
Both these factors are important, but we have these countries where this is consistently a factor. So in what dimensions are these countries different that produces this young, educated, unemployed effect?
In these countries, we observe low productivity of skilled workers, uh-huh. high cost of creating skilled jobs, and also lower prevalence of mismatch.
What policies would we think about if we wanted to fix this? And also, are the countries implementing policies that would address this?
There can be two types of policies to address the issue. One is by targeting the supply side, and the other one is targeting the demand side. Mm-hmm. On the supply side, education policies to boost the human capital should improve the labor market outcomes of educated workforce. On the demand side, these skills could be best used if firms could easily adopt their technologies accordingly.
Most of those countries seem to have similar labour markets. Denmark sticks out. Do we know why Denmark's got this effect too?
Denmark, in terms of what we estimate in terms of productivity and frictions, are a little different than other countries that I'm talking about. Denmark is definitely not a country with very high frictions like other Southern European countries in the labour market. However, in terms of the productivity hypotheses that I'm talking about, we still do see relatively low productivity of young educated people relative to high school graduates. So it fits to my hypothesis, actually.
As this is persistent, is it a danger that we might see a long-term scarring effect in these countries if the situation persists? It would certainly reduce the incentives to study.
Yeah, definitely. Scarring effects are important. Long-term unemployment leads to skill degrading and even worse health outcomes, for instance. And here we are talking about European countries. Unemployed, educated people can move to other countries when they are not able to find a job in their countries, which can cause a permanent brain drain. This situation means that educated human capital cannot be used in its best productive way, which is a big loss from a macro perspective.
Simon, while it's obviously a serious problem, let's hope the policy manages to address it, especially for those young graduates. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper's called Young, Educated, Unemployed, and the author you just heard from her, Sina Joskun. It is discussion paper 19351 at CPR.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We're here every week with new episodes. So if you're enjoying what we do, please leave us a review. Next week on Vox Talks, When London Burned to Sticks.